This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
So now let's move to the science of resilience. We're going to cover key concepts and how it can facilitate adaptation to loss. So let's start with the definition. What is resilience? So the American Psychological Association defines resilience as the process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or significant sources of stress, like family and relationship problems, serious health problems, or workplace and financial stressors. So it's not the absence of challenges. It's not that people who have resilience have no access to challenges or problems in their life. Quite the contrary. Resilience is really about our ability to bounce back in the face of these challenges. Let's look at the core components of resilience. So there are four domains: emotion regulation, cognitive flexibility, social support, and meaning making. They're all well established in resilience literature, and they aren't specific to grief alone. In fact, they're considered foundational to how people adapt to all kinds of adversity, whether that's trauma, illness, or major life transitions. But they become especially important when we're grieving because loss touches every one of these areas in a profound way. So when we talk about resilience, there are several key components that help people to adapt and cope through adversity. So let's go through each one of these in detail. So first is emotion regulation. This is our ability to manage our feelings effectively without becoming too overwhelmed, right? So really our ability to sort of think about our emotions and manage them without going sort of guardrail to guardrail or sort of having these big emotional swings. It's about staying grounded with our emotions when they run high. So that doesn't mean we don't have really strong, intense emotions. It's that we can manage and regulate those emotions when they happen. So next is cognitive flexibility, which is crucial. This means being able to reframe negative thoughts and see challenges from different perspectives, which opens the door to new solutions and hope. So when I think about grieving and I work with some of my clients, what I see is cognitive inflexibility. So it's not unusual for us to get really stuck in rigid thinking. We have specific thoughts about the loss or specific ways that we see pieces of the loss that can be quite rigid. And those rigid ways of seeing things are part of what keeps us stuck. And so having some cognitive flexibility in that and our ability to maybe see things through a wider lens can really be helpful in adapting to loss. Social support. I cannot say enough about the important role that social support plays in resilience. Having strong, reliable relationships provides encouragement, practical help, and a sense of belonging during difficult times. And finally, meaning making. This is a part that connects us to our values. So are we connected to value-driven activities, finding purpose and understanding tough experiences? This can help transform our pain into growth and resilience. So together, all of these factors contribute to building a stronger capacity to bounce back from challenges. So why does resilience matter? I love this slide. So when we first started looking into resilience at the Stein Institute about 10 years ago, I was shocked to find out that there are so many benefits to being resilient. So we started to look at the literature, and I had been working in aging for well over 10 years at this point, and all of this was new to me too. So what we found out was people with resilience have higher psychological outcomes, so lower depression, lower anxiety. I also found out that they have greater social support, gratitude, and spirituality. People who are resilient have stronger immune systems. Isn't that incredible? They also have longer life expectancy, which is fascinating to me. People who are resilient have stronger social ties, are better prepared for life's unpredictability, and have lower high-risk behaviors like substance abuse, gambling, and overeating. So as you can imagine, it can be really important for all of us to enhance our resilience when we think about all of these components that really play a role in our overall health and well-being. I want to spend a moment talking about something central to this talk, which is the idea that resilience is a skill, not just a trait. And this is what I love so much about resilience work, is that there's so much hope in it. It's not something you either have or don't have. Resilience is dynamic. It shifts over time, and depending on our life experiences, the support around us, and the choices we make, it can grow in time. So it's helpful to think about resilience like a muscle. It's not fixed, and it can absolutely grow with practice. So just as we wouldn't expect someone to lift weights without training, we shouldn't expect ourselves or others to bounce back from hardship without support and intentional effort. So with that comes that resilience is dynamic, not fixed. Small actions like reflection, self-care, connection, gratitude practice, adapting our capacity to thrive, all of these things can be enhanced on a daily basis. Routine, goal setting, social ties, these are really things that we can put some intention behind, which can help grow that resilience muscle. Also, I cannot say enough about engaging in value-driven activities. So when we connect to the things that make us us, so when we connect to the things that are most important to who we are, it increases our resilience muscle and our capacity to thrive. So this is an empowering message. We are not just born with a fixed amount of resilience. We can nurture it, shape it, grow it throughout our lives. So let's talk for a moment about the 7 C's of resilience. This is a helpful framework for understanding resilience, especially in the context of grief. So the 7 C's of resilience was developed by Ken Ginsberg, and it was originally designed actually to support youth development. But these principles have been applied throughout the lifespan, including in the face of deep personal loss. So let me walk you through some of these and how they might relate to grief. So number one, competence. Grief can shake our confidence and make us doubt our ability to function and cope. It can really rattle us to our core. So supporting someone's competence means reminding them that we can and can still do things, even the small things, and helping them rebuild a sense of capacity one step at a time. So confidence. Loss can create self-doubt. Am I grieving right? Will this ever be okay? Competence grows when we have people around us that affirm our experiences and remind us that we are strong, because feeling and connecting to healing is something that is that needs to be nurtured. Connection, we've talked a lot about this, but grief can be incredibly isolating. I think so much about how we carry this grief alone, and we can feel so misunderstood. We can go into a room and we think, how is everybody acting like life is just going on as usual, and I am struggling with this big weight of grief, and nobody around me can understand me. So connection is really important. Connection to our community, connection to ourselves, connection to our loved ones, getting back to doing some things that we once enjoyed. Character. Grief often brings moral and existential questions. Why them? Why me? Why now? So supporting character means affirming our own values, identity, and integrity, and helping people stay grounded. And contribution. Sometimes healing comes through doing. So finding ways to give back, whether it's volunteering, creating a legacy project. For me, very shortly after my loss, I took a training program in how to run support groups for suicide loss survivors, and I found that that gave me a great sense of purpose and connection and meaning and contribution, and that really was transformative in my own grief journey. Coping, grief is unpredictable, and it requires tools to navigate those wide swings. So healthy coping could look like anything from journaling, body movement, rituals, or just finding like very slow senses of normalcy again, where we can sort of get back to step-by-step engagement in our lives, whether that be like, just, I'm going to get up and take a shower today. That's all I'm going to do for myself, is just make sure I take a shower today. And for many grievers, that can feel like such a hard and difficult accomplishment. So sort of finding ways to engage in our lives like that is important. And then the last C is control. So loss can often impact our sense of control, right? So rebuilding it, even in small ways, can make a difference. So when we think about resilience after loss, we're not just talking about bouncing back. We're talking about honoring grief while helping people slowly reconnect with their strength, identity, and their purpose in life.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, Visit us online at UCTV.tv.